misled. Men and women who believe there is a God, but having not spent time in the Bible. Men and women who yearn for something substantial. They yearn for and long for a religious experience that would give substance and meaning to their spiritual life, to their hopes, to their relating to God. They are men and women who feel they are serving God, but it's like they want something from God, directly or indirectly, to let them know that God noticed them. They long for an angel to come and wake them up. They long to hear a voice that sounds like a voice of an angel or a voice from heaven. They long for a spiritual being to come and wake them out of their bed and say, John, God sent me to tell you I am with you. There are men and women who are looking for certainty in their faith and hope. They expect and they are waiting for an angel from heaven, or waiting for the Holy Spirit. Or waiting for a vision from God. I'm here this morning to let you know, and if you're one of those in the audience, that not only might you be waiting, you might be one of those that will swear that the Almighty God has given you message directly many times. That God gave you. There are people around every day telling how they got a message from God. And by that they mean God has spoken to them directly in their dreams or whatever. The lesson today is meant to help clarify certain truth from God. The hope, the waiting, the expectation that I have just described, that many men and women possess those expectations. Their waiting is in vain. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? The Almighty God in this age, in this time, will not be sending any angel to anyone. Remember I said before I got started that if you are here as a visitor and would like to ask questions, even after we are dismissed or phone us, the church's telephone number is there. We welcome your question. So I say again that the Almighty God will not be sending the Holy Spirit to deliver a message to you. The Almighty God will not sending an angel to wake you up. The Almighty God will not be giving you a vision. I am certain of that because I believe in what the Bible teaches. That's right. God why am I not going to get the vision, Brother Mitchell? Why are you telling me that the message God gave me 2 weeks ago, it wasn't from God? Well, as you listen to God's word, to what God says in his Bible this morning, you will feel you don't have to ask me that question because the Bible answers it. Why such waiting or expectation is in vain? The one reason is because God has already spoken on the subject. Wait, and by that already spoken, God is still speaking. In the Almighty God having spoken to the church and to humanity, that he has already spoken, the effect of that already spoken is still going on, meaning he's still speaking. But he's speaking to us through the gospel. Brother Mitchell, you never hear about continuous revelation. Yes, I heard some falsehood about continuous revelation. I heard that men and women believe that God's revelation to the saints and to humanity did not stop with the New Testament, but that the Almighty God continues today revealing truth to men. I heard that, but I know that that is false. And if you believe the Bible like I do, at the end of this lesson, you will agree with me that that belief that God is still giving men new revelation, that that is false. Did I say God has already spoken and thereby is still speaking to us through Jesus Christ and the revealed gospel? Let us hear Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, and chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Let us hear it.
God, who at sundry times.
Now, listen, passages like this that is quoted so many times, we hear it so much, we can quote it from memory. But listen what God is saying in that passage through his inspired writer. God, who many times,
and in diverse manners,
that mean in different ways,
spake in time past.
Now, you must notice, very important, the distinction being made here. What the brother is reading in that passage and at that part of the passage is dealing with time past. You must realize that is not now. What he's reading there is time past. God, who at sundry time and in different ways, spake
in time past. Unto the fathers.
To whom?
Unto the fathers.
To whom?
Unto the fathers.
Thank you, reader.
By the prophets.
By, isn't that plain? You want to turn that around? It means when God spoke through the prophet in time past, it was primarily to the fathers. Those elderly and ancient men and women of God who serve God, when God spoke to the prophet, it was primarily to them. Has he done any more speaking, brother?
Has in these last days.
Isn't that, you know, talk about past and last days, may I abbreviate that by saying now? That's right. In these last days,
spoken unto
us. He's still speaking to us in these last days. Spoken to us
by his Son.
By his Son,
whom he hath appointed.
The same Son who he has appointed.
Heir of all things.
Heir of all things. So God is still speaking today. He's speaking to us through who? His Son.
Whom he hath appointed.
Whom he has appointed heir
of all things.
Do we get that? Okay now. Let us get some more of that. Turn to the book of St. John chapter 17. If my memory is right, I think I need verse 20 somewhere about there. The book of St. John chapter 17 and verse 20. Read from verse 17. And the same point, you know, remember, wait, where we are, that he's now speaking to us through
his Son.
Son. Mm-hmm. The Bible make a distinction how God spake in time past and to whom he spoke in time past. But now he's speaking to us by Son. We need to know. Is it that Jesus Christ is coming to you and give you a vision and speaking to you last night, and he came to me the night before and speak to me? Let us hear how he's speaking to us. Let us hear the Bible, brother.
Sanctify them by your truth.
Now, Jesus Christ is here. Are we all there? Are you with me? Jesus Christ is in this passage praying for his apostle.
Amen.
Are we all there?
Amen.
They were right there with him. Listen as he prayed.
Sanctify them by your truth.
Set them apart, Father, by your truth.
Your word is truth.
Your word is truth.
As you sent me into the world.
As you sent me into the world.
I also have sent them into the world.
You get here? In the same way God sent him into the world. Jesus Christ is here sending the apostles out. And he's praying to his Father for them. But Amen. We are not to read on.
And for their sakes.
And for their sake.
I sanctify myself. That they also may be sanctified.
That
by
they
the truth.
Might be sanctified.
By the truth.
By the truth. Wait. You notice how much great things the truth of Jesus Christ does for us, or for his people. I wish we have time, but that's why sometimes, you plan to spend so much minutes on a lesson and it takes twice time the time, because there's always some good preaching that we are passing that we don't have time. Anyway, go on, let us hear it.
I do not pray for these alone.
Watch here now, very important point coming up that has implication for us today. I do not pray for these alone. These who? The apostles that were right there with him for whom he's praying. But Jesus Christ said, I'm not praying for them alone.
But also for those.
For those who
will believe in me. Through their word.
Those and the dear words. Are we all there?
Amen.
The those is referring to those of us who would come after.
Amen.
The dear is referring to the apostle.
Amen.
Watch here. Faith in Jesus Christ not going to come by the words brought to you by an angel.
Amen.
Faith in Jesus Christ to strengthen you and your relationship with God and to give you assurance will not come When the Holy Spirit come and wake you up out of your bed. That faith going to come by listening to the words of the apostle.
Amen.
So here Jesus Christ is praying for those who would believe in him, Christ, through the angel's word.
Through the apostle's word.
Through the apostle's word. Through the teaching of the apostle.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ knew that he's not going to send any angel or Holy Spirit directly to you and me. He's going to send his message to us through the apostle.
Amen.
That's why Jesus Christ is praying this prayer. But we are not through. We are not through. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard.
Stop there a while. Let us have a little pause. Are you giving heed to God's word? It's an answer you need to give yourself. The inspired writer here says, we ought to give the more, not just heed, earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Wait. It's not talk about things you heard about Trump. It's talk about the gospel. Things you heard about God's plan and purpose for your life. The Almighty God is saying in this, what the brothers just read, that we must never take it lightly. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Listen, the other statement.
Lest at any time we should let them slip.
You see, it's not only when you are studying to pass your exam in that course you are taking, or to pass your exam going towards your master's or bachelor's degree or your PhD. Those are not the only thing you must put out effort to remember. The Bible says that we are to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any times you forget what you heard. Implying that we should keep in memory as much of God's truth as is possible. Lest at any time we let them slip. We should strive, put out effort that we do not let our memory let go of God's truth. Lest at any time we let them slip. Wait, watch here now. Are you watching? Well, okay, listen then. Are you listening? The other statement going to let us understand why we must not let God's word slip far.
For if the word spoken by angels,
if when angels speak it,
was steadfast.
That means every iota in those words spoken by angel lived up to its promise.
And every transgression.
And disobedience.
Received a just recompense.
That is, when the angel spoke and promised blessing, the blessing was forthcoming. When the angel spoke and promised punishment for disobedience, the punishment was forthcoming. So it is telling us why we must not forget. But it's not true with it. Mm-hmm.
How shall we escape? If we neglect so great salvation.
Wait. You get that? It's not just salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect, that is, treat lightly, treat as if it no matter more than so. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Wait, Brother Mitchell, which one is that? The salvation that is in Jesus Christ. So great a salvation.
Which at the first.
Wait, notice now the process. that it goes through. And this will help you understand that waiting for an angel, waiting for vision, waiting for the Holy Spirit is futile. The Almighty God has already spoken. Pick up the air, brother.
Which at the first.
The salvation which at first.
Began to be spoken by the Lord.
Jesus Christ.
And was confirmed unto us.
It was confirmed after Christ started.
By them.
It was confirmed unto us.
By them that heard him.
By them that heard Christ, that is the apostles.
God also bearing.
The Almighty God.
Bearing them witness.
Authenticness to their preaching.
Both
to the gospel. To the word that they preach. By miracles.
Both with signs.
Signs.
And wonders.
Wonders.
And with diverse miracles.
And different miracles.
And gifts of the Holy
and
Ghost.
And gifts of the Holy Ghost.
According to his own will.
What verse is that?
End of verse 4.
End of verse 4? Well, you can't stop there because we need to go on to some other things. Are we all there? This passage is telling us how God's word or how God's message for humanity, how it was given and transmitted to the church and to the world. Jesus Christ brought it. He taught the apostle. The apostle preached it. The Almighty God back up their preaching of the gospel with miracle. To let the men and women who listened to them know that their words was not just their word, it was from God. Are we all there? Watch here, watch here, watch here. There is no continuous revelation. It's important that we all get that. My God, you listen to TV. Every preacher is getting message and God reveals something to them. We're coming to one or two more passages. You must have a personal knowledge of the truth as it is revealed in the Bible. You need to have that. Because every day you go out there, religious men and women is telling you some things that you need to make sure you are not drawn in. And I'm here to tell you, the business that there is continuous revelation, meaning that God continues down through the ages and in our time to reveal new things to people. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever message or truth God has for you, it is in the Bible. The Almighty God doesn't have any message for you or me now that he has not revealed in the Bible. Whatever you want to hear from God, in respect to serving him, guiding your lives according to his word, what promise he has in store for you, or what punishment for rejecting the truth, whatever you need, it's in the gospel. Don't look for anything else. And don't let angel or man fool you. That's right. That's right. Are we all there? There is no need for vision or continuous revelation. Let us turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3.
According as his divine power.
Is what?
His divine power.
So God is behind what you are about to read. what his divine power has done.
Hath given unto us all things.
Take time with my brother. you're following us? No. God's divine power. And that is a lot of power. God's divine power has given to us what here?
All things.
I thought it said some things.
All things.
I thought it said most things.
All things.
You sure, brother?
All things.
Wait. We need to look. Because we are dealing here with continuous revelation. Notice, has given. That is present perfect tense. It means that when the writer wrote it, are you following me? The giving was already done. Wait. It is not that he is still giving it. The tense of the verb indicates that the giving was a done deal. Finish. That his divine power has done what?
Given unto us all things.
All things. Not some things. Not most things. But wait. There is an attachment there to the all things.
That pertain.
Take time with me now. There is an attachment there. Since it's not something, since it's not most things, let me erase that. I've given to us all things. Wait. What is the attachment? Let us hear it.
That pertain unto life.
That pertain
unto life.
To life.
And godliness.
And godliness. You get it? All that we need to be godly has already been given. Wait, not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. We are dealing with why you do not need continuous revelation. Because whatever we need to live, he give it. Whatever we need to be godly, that too has already been given. That's why we do not need any more revelation. In fact, God's not going to give any more based on these truths. Anything else in the verse, dear brother?
Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and
that's
virtue.
Right. That's the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, called us to glory. Wait. Look here. Could I get your permission to look at one more passage and then I may take a little brata for her? Oh my God, continuous revelation. Don't wait for an angel to come and wake you out of your bed. Wait, something may come and wake you, but it's not an angel from God. That's right. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to come and deliver a message to you. You know why? Whatever God wants you to know, it has already been revealed in the gospel. So we have just looked on the passage in 2 Peter here that we have just dealt with. Look now on another passage. Book Jude, it has one chapter. We want verse 3.
Beloved.
While
I was very diligent to write to you
uh-huh.
concerning our common salvation,
mm-hmm.
I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly.
Wait. Brother McFarlane, could you start again?
Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you.
You see, what is being said here is that the writer planned to write the letter, but he's going to interject something that was not a part of his original intention.
Amen.
He's going to deal with the subject of contending for the faith. But that was not part of his original plan.
Amen.
Is when he thought of writing to them, it seems he saw the need and the urgency to remind them that they should contend, which means stand up for, don't compromise, what?
The faith.
The faith. Watch here now. Wait. Very important. The faith. May I? This. Lot of time we use the word subjective faith and objective faith. Subjective faith is that which is within you or me. The belief we have of God, that is subjective. Subjective because it's personal. It's what you have, what you possess, that faith. But we also have objective faith. That is outside of you or me. It is independent of us. The faith here is the objective faith. This is referring to the body of teaching. You see, the faith is not referring to our subjective belief. I have faith in Jesus. No, that's not. It's talking about the teaching. That body of teaching delivered by the apostle of Christ. Beloved, when I planned to write unto you, etc., etc., I was constrained to write unto you that you should contend for what?
Contend earnestly for the faith.
The faith, that is the body of New Testament teaching.
Amen.
Delivered the church by the apostle.
Amen.
That's the faith. And that's what Jude is telling them, that he was under compulsion to write for them to contend for the faith. But here, watch here now. You see, a lot of time, all of us, including me, you read something, and sometimes we are going, taking in a lot of what we read, but sometimes we overlook some important thing. Look here. You must never overlook it. Contend for the faith, watch here now.
Which was once for all.
Wait. Ooh. Can you read my once? Paul says, see how large a letter I write unto you. Paul was indicating that it seems he have an eye problem, a sight problem. And that the church to which he wrote could identify that letter was not dictated by Paul, but it was actually written in his own handwriting. They could use the size of the letter to this. Anyway, you see how large a letter right unto you. What are we dealing with? It was once.
Once for all.
Wait, take time, my brother. That is there?
Yes, sir.
The faith would not be continuously being delivered.
Once for all.
Are you all following me? The faith would be once delivered. You get the point? During the first century, when the Almighty God was, and I need not, I was about for us to turn to the book of Ephesians, where Paul tells us that God had revealed it to them, the apostle. But let's not go there, you know. When the Almighty God in the first century of Christianity was revealing the truth of the gospel about the church, about Christianity, Christian living, and all of that, ladies and gentlemen, that was the time that the faith was being revealed and delivered. That period, when that period finished, when the Almighty God, when Jesus Christ finished revealing his truth to the apostle. No, I forget what I'm, I haven't forgotten what I'm saying. I'm thinking of the passage in the book of St. John, chapter 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them who also shall believe on me through their, that is through the apostles' word. You see, so here we have the apostle again. Okay. It was once. Huh?
Once.
How many times? It was continuous. No. It was once. And watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. Once what, brother?
Once for all delivered to the saints.
Wait. Delivered is past tense. Which means, at the time Jude wrote, 2,000 plus years ago, the delivery was completed. In other words, men and women who lived after Jude, after the first 80 years of Christianity, men and women who live after that should not expect to get any new message from God. You know why? All that the Almighty God in Christ wants men and women to know about Christ redeeming us on Calvary, about becoming a Christian, about living the Christian life, about witnessing for Jesus Christ, about working in the kingdom of Christ, which is the church. All that God wants men and women to know is right here in the Bible. Don't go to bed hoping an angel come and wake you up tonight to let you, to give you assurance. That assurance must come through your faith, not through any vision, because you're not. In fact, Satan will work on that mind of yours. You will eat late and have nightmare and think I gotta speak to you. Every dream we dream, we want to think it's God. You know, I'm tempted here now, but I'm not going to yield to it, to run to Jeremiah chapter 23. No worry, go there. You know, the Almighty God in that passage referred to the prophet that they were liars. That every dream, they come to the people preaching that God give them a dream. The Almighty God told them to, when you have a dream, tell it as a dream. But when you have my word, you must preach it faithfully. So wait, you see, it was once delivered to whom?
To the saints.
To the saints. Wait, you notice the Almighty God didn't give the truth to the world at first. The Almighty God gave it to the church, which is the saints. Now, wait, the saints must make sure the world get it. That is where you and I come in. Anyway, I'm going to stop here. There is one passage that I want to share it, well-known passage, and ask you if you ever consider the implication of that passage. But let me stop right here, so. Don't expect a vision. If you get a vision, it will not be from God. Don't expect the Holy Spirit to come and deliver a message to you. If some spirit come, it will not be the Holy Spirit. Don't expect angel to come and deliver a message from God. If an angel come, it will be the fallen one. All that God has for you and me, it is already been placed in the gospel. You and I, therefore, must make sure we acquaint ourselves with the gospel. Spend a little time with the word of God. It has great benefits. And brothers and sisters, I close with this point. Let us not take Christianity lightly, because all that Christianity teaches going to come to pass within your knowledge and my knowledge. It will not come to pass and you and I don't know about it, because God's word is true. Are you here today wanting to become a Christian? You at the singing of a song that we'll be singing in a few minutes, you can step forward to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And here now, watch here. When you become a Christian in the true church of Christ, you become a Christian the Bible's way. Amen. That's right. We are not feeding your man-made tradition handed down through the ages. We take you to the word of God and let you do what Christ commands for you to do, and do it God's way. So as we will be singing a song, the Almighty God has a simple plan of salvation, that you hear his word. Today you hear that the gospel of Christ, while it was given by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, it will serve until the end of the world. One of the points I should share with you is to, do you know that for some 400 years plus, after Malachi, the Almighty God never supplied the Israelites with another prophet 400 years. They had to depend on the Old Testament that they had. That's right, 400 plus years, God didn't speak to them until John the Baptist came along. So it's not unusual for God. They didn't have vision, etc., etc. God, as if it were, was silent for some 400 plus years. And it was God's plan that once Jesus Christ, for whom the world has been waiting, once he came, the Almighty God would not be sending angel and the Holy Spirit to deliver a message, because God would deliver that message once and for all in the gospel. You have that message now. Obey it now, please, so that Christ can save you. True faith in him, repentance from your sin, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. And if you are a child of God who has strayed, slipped, backsliding, or have backslidden, there's no better time than now to come and make a recommitment of your life to Jesus Christ. As we stand, Christ, in love, in grace, in mercy, Jesus Christ, God.